Luke chapter 2, verse 26. This is speaking of Simeon. Simeon, who was in the temple. And it says here, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them. Almost sounds like the Christmas play. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Praise God. And when you see that word revealed there, that you can use that word revelation, that there would come a revelation. And what we need tonight, is not church services so much. We need revelation. We don't need preaching and hearing preaching so much. We need revelation. We need to know the revelation of not of anybody else, but of myself. I need to have my heart revealed to me. And what does that mean? That means that it is entirely possible that we can go through life and not have our heart revealed to us. And I'm going to show you tonight, it's not just for the sinner. And thank God that God revealed our heart to us before we gave our life to him. And we came to the revelation that we were sinners, that we needed God, that without God we have no hope. Amen. And that revelation brought us salvation. But if we want to get to heaven, we've got to continue to let God reveal our hearts to us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it's not pretty sometimes what we see, and it's not beautiful what we see, but thank God he ministers to us, and he helps us, and he came and robed himself in flesh that the hearts of many may be revealed. The thoughts of the heart of many may be revealed. Praise God. Let's pray together and let's ask for God's help tonight. We need God's help. Lord, we want to touch you tonight. We need the touch of your Spirit and the anointing and the revelation of the Word of God tonight. I'm asking you to reveal to us the Word of God, but more than the Word of God, reveal to us our hearts and show us where we really are and where we need to go. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. It's good to be in God's house, and it's good to worship the Lord. Praise God. You know, there are those that have many opinions of Jesus Christ, even in our generation today. Many that have never met him have criticized him and condemned him. And Jesus really wants to know how we feel about him. Matthew 6 and 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And we know in the following verses that they said, well, some say this, and some say that, and some say the other. But Jesus finally turned to his disciples, and he said, What do you think? It is not enough to be a part of something where everybody feels a certain way about it, and you enjoy the fellowship of that group or that time together with those people, but it comes down to what is in your heart. Amen. There will come a time in your walk with God. There will come a time in your life where you will have to make a decision what is in your heart. Amen. Where you stop long enough and you get the mirror of the Word of God out and you get the inspector on site, and he begins to look and he begins to inspect. Doing a little bit of work in construction, I've come to realize that there are people that don't like it when the inspector comes around and when he starts looking. Well, praise God. Y'all can tell I'm having a struggle here today, and so you just need to pray for me, all right? And they don't like it when the inspector comes around because probably there's something hidden behind a wall or there's something that hasn't been done right, and they don't want him to bring out those flaws. But we have someone tonight who wants to give us revelation, and that revelation is something that should be about our heart. Peter said that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I want to read that tonight. And they said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elijah, some Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Praise God. And so we are a part tonight of the apostolic church that believes that Jesus Christ is exactly who he said he was. He is God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Colossians tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Isaiah said that the Son which was born would be the everlasting Father and the mighty God. Amen. We believe that tonight. We understand that tonight. But it's got to get more than just a doctrinal understanding. It has to be something that comes by revelation. Praise God. Amen. The Spirit reveals who he is, and it is not for just those that are educated and those that have college degree or degrees in theology. I'm telling you today, it's so very simple. There's only one God. There's not three in one and one in three. There is no Holy Trinity. There is only one God. Amen. And since we understand that, then we know where to put our affection. We know where to put our life. We know where to put our mind and our spirit and our soul and our heart. And we should love God with all of our heart. Amen. Because the heart is the center of our emotion. It is the center of the decision making of our life. Praise God. And when we make serious and lifelong decisions, it needs to be done from the heart. Praise God. And who knows his heart? The Bible says no man knows his heart. And the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so what we need is surgery on our heart. Amen. What we need is the inspector to come. And I'll tell you, one who has been inspected a number of times, I don't like inspections. Praise God. I'm not talking about construction. Those were a piece of cake, and those were very easy, and there was no problem. But when the inspector comes and he goes inside of you and says, we have a problem, or he looks at you and says, this is very serious, it'll make your heart skip a beat. Amen. It'll make you begin to think about things that are serious when the inspector comes and he looks at your heart. But more than a cardiologist or more than someone who looks at the physical heart, there is an inspector, if you please. There is one who will reprove of sin. Amen. He will reprove of righteousness. He will reprove of judgment. And that is the Holy Ghost. That is the Spirit of God that we have received. Amen. I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost tonight. But the Holy Ghost didn't come just so we could speak in tongues. Well, praise the Lord. The Holy Ghost didn't come just so that we could feel good and have that good feeling, amen, and enjoy the spiritual things of God. I'm telling you what, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. And we talked about that this morning. And truth is very important in our lives. We've got to have truth. And some people revel in the truth and they use it for this or that or the other. The Apostle Paul said that there were those, even in his day, that preached Christ for reasons that were not pure. He rejoiced that Christ was preached, even though there were situations. But the best situation, amen, of having truth in your life is not telling people where certain verses are in the Bible and understanding that. And we need that. We need to know the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. And I believe that we need to study to make ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. But what about personal truth? Amen. What about another level of living for God? What about another level of life? Amen. Where we examine ourselves and we examine the direction that we are going in our life. And religion will not do that for you. Church attendance will not do that for you. Listening to sermons will not do that for you. Just reading your Bible on a schedule is not going to do that for you. Amen. We've got to get close enough to God where God can speak to us. Well, praise the Lord, somebody. Where the Lord can speak to us and say, what about pride? What about the pride that's in your heart? What about the lust that's in your heart? What about those things that are in your heart that are not right with God? And that's not something that your spiritual leadership can do. Amen. That's not necessarily what a friend can do. It can only come. Amen. It can't come by somebody pointing a finger at you and saying, this is your problem. But it can only come through prayer. It can only come when we talk to God personally and God is able to speak to our heart. Amen. And we don't like it when he talks to us about things that are not right. We're not excited about that because it involves pain. Amen. It involves a hurt. It involves that. But when it is finished, it goes a long, long way to save us. Amen. And God has a desire for all men to be saved. Amen. Not only to be saved, but to rise to a place where we can be used of God. And the only way that we can be used of God is, first of all, we must have a foundation of truth in our lives. Foundation of truth in the Word of God, but a foundation of truth of where we stand with God. Amen. The Bible talks about fear. Amen. Can God talk to your heart about fear in your heart? All of us deal with fear. Every one of us have fears in our heart and things that motivate us, the fear that motivates us to do whatever it is that we do. Can God speak to us about personal issues in our heart and in our life? I hope that the answer would be yes, that God could speak to us. Amen. Because we want to go to heaven, right? We all want to go to heaven. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. We don't want him to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And so we must walk softly. The Bible says that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Our God is a living God tonight. He hears everything. He sees everything. He knows everything. Amen. But thank God he's not carrying a big billy club. Amen. He's got a big heart of mercy and love for us. Praise God, a big heart of love and mercy. But that love and mercy only comes when we repent. And we can only repent when we have our heart revealed to us, when we can actually see the direction that we're going, and we can say, I'm sorry, God, and get it right and get it straightened out. Amen. Get it fixed and move on with life. Praise God. Nobody wants a sentence hanged over them for the rest of their life. And I sure don't want my sins hanged over my head for the rest of my life. I'm thankful for Calvary. I'm thankful for repentance. I'm thankful that God revealed to my heart where I really, really was. Where I really was. And God wants to do that as we live for Him. He wants us to draw close to Him. Amen. When He is your Savior, He will save you from sin and darkness. Amen. And He will reveal that darkness in your heart. Praise the Lord. He'll reveal that darkness in your heart, and He'll show you what's really down deep inside of your heart. Praise God. And we cannot justify ourselves. We cannot say, I am pure and clean. Amen. Because we are not pure and clean. There's not a one of us that can do that. Amen. Jesus passed, entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. And he was rich. He was the chief thief. Everybody said the chief thief. That's what he was. He was the chief thief. He was the head over all the thieves of his day, the tax collectors. He was the most despised of his day. Nobody wanted to be around this man, and he was short of stature, but I'll tell you what, he knew how to clean your pockets out. And we're used to that, I'm sure. Amen. When the government gets through with you, you don't have anything left. They just tell you to hold your wallet out, and they turn on a vacuum sweeper, and it all comes out in a moment's time. Amen. Well, I'm not going to get off onto that tonight. We're all going to be depressed before we leave. That was this man right here. Amen. And when he saw that Jesus, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature, ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. That means he did it in a hurry. And he came down and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, all murmured, saying that he had gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Praise God. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. Now you just got to understand this here tonight. This was an established man. He probably owned a home. He had money in the bank. He had possessions, and he had gathered all of these things. I'm telling you, this man had the ability to let God speak to him about what was in his heart. Amen. All of the years, excuse me, all of the years that he had collected taxes, there was something down on the inside of him. Just like the Apostle Paul, when the Lord said it is hard to kick against the pricks. Every time he killed a Christian, there was something down in his heart that said, this isn't right. Amen. There was a little voice down on the inside. Every time Zacchaeus scooped off a little bit more than he was supposed to and put it in his pocket, there was something down on the inside of him that said, this is not right. But we have a way of covering that up, don't we? Well, you don't have to shout or say amen. I'd rather you didn't. Praise God. But I'm telling you that we feel that feeling in our heart, but we have a way of covering it up and going to the next phase and the next phase and the next phase. And before you know it, we are found guilty of major theft. I've heard of those that were caught in major thefts, and it started out so little, but it grew and it got bigger and bigger and bigger until it became a very grievous thing. Zacchaeus was that way. and somewhere in meeting Jesus, the presence of God was there, that there was a revelation that came to him. There was a revelation of his heart. There was a revelation that said, you're a sinner. You've done wrong. You need to get right with God. And folks, if we're ever going to have a revival, I'm telling you, it's got to start with the church. Amen. We can't expect the sinners to do all of this. We've got to look at ourselves, and we've got to say, God, what's in my heart? What's down deep inside of me? Amen. And so on and so forth. Praise God. And half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything that is not right, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Why would he say that? Because that's what he had done. He did not skirt around the issue. He did not try to cover it up in any way. He said, if I have taken anything from anybody, I'm going to restore it fourfold. After Jesus left that day, that man was a whole lot poorer in his bank account than he was than he was when Jesus came by. He had lost a lot of his work, a lot of his effort, a lot of the things that he had done to get to where he was. But I'm telling you what, he was a lot richer in the Spirit. He was a lot richer in the Holy Ghost, if you please. And he was a lot closer to God than when Jesus came. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise God. You know what, tonight I'm lost. You say, you are. Yes, I am, and so are you tonight. I'm lost without Jesus in my life. I'm lost if I've got things in my heart that are not right with God. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to hear him say, well done, if there are things in my heart that are not right with God. And this man fulfilled the scripture probably without even knowing it. And he said that the Lord would give all of this to the Lord, and so on. He confessed. The scripture says, whoever covers his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. And confession is not to a man. Amen. You can't confess your sins to me or a priest or anybody and get forgiveness for your sins. There's only one place that you can confess your sins. Actually, there are two. Amen. The first one is God. Amen. It is to God. I'm going to confess my sins to God. And that word confess there does not mean to think it out or to, say in your mind, I'm sorry, God. What it simply means is to verbalize it. Praise God. Because when you verbalize it, it's out there. It cannot be hidden anymore. But when it's in the mind, when it's in the spirit, and it's not verbalized, it cannot be dealt with. It says, whosoever confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. And so we must not only speak it out, but we must actually do something about it. And Zacchaeus did that, and salvation came to his house. And he was a Jew. He was the son of Abraham. And Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Aren't you glad that God saw you in your lost condition and he gave you an opportunity and passed by your way? I'm thankful tonight. I'm thankful tonight. But what brought us to God will keep us with God. I'm not going to preach a shouting message here tonight. Don't think I could, even if I wanted to. But I'm telling you that we need Jesus. Luke chapter 7 and verse 36. Let's turn there tonight. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner. There's another one right there. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman that is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And immediately, as soon as the thoughts of his heart, notice here, the Bible says he thought within himself. He talked to himself. We do that. We talk to ourselves. And we say things in our mind and in our heart. Nobody knows about those things but you and God. But Scripture tells us that He knows our thoughts afar off. We're afar off and we're coming and He knows our thoughts. He saw one of the disciples and he said, "When you were under the tree, I saw you there." And he said, "Oh, my Lord and my God." He knew that there was only one that knew the thoughts of his heart. And this Pharisee, this religious person, this church attender, this man who had not only attended, but he had come to a place of prominence and was a teacher of the Word of God and was a minister of the Word of God. He knew it very, very, very much. And not only did he know it very much, but he was very strict upon himself. And the Pharisees were known as being very strict on themselves and on those that were around them. And in fact, they would kill you if you did not obey their commandments and go in their direction. And so it was important thing to him, because Jesus was very popular, to have him in his house, to have him in his place of residence. Well, praise God. And all of a sudden, a sinner comes in. Can you imagine that? A sinner coming in. And the sinner came in. Does that mean that Jesus justified the sin? No. He did not justify the sin. But he looked at this. He looked at hearts. I'm telling you, God looks at the heart tonight. Saint of God, God looks at your heart tonight. Amen. And there are things that will come along that will reveal that. And God wants to reveal that to us. God wants to show us today what's in the thoughts of our heart. And she began to weep. And the reason she wept is not because she needed money or she needed food or she needed a healing. She just came and fell at his feet and she wept at his feet. Amen. And she was a sinner. She knew she was a sinner. She understood where she was at, and she understood that Jesus was the only one that could help her. And she washed his feet with tears. She took out her little tear bottle, the tears of all the failures of her life that she had caught in this bottle, and she poured it out upon the feet of Jesus. She had some anointing oil. She anointed him with the oil. And, I'm telling you what, she was there. And he turned to Simon and he said, "Simon, I've got something I need to ask you." He said, "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50. When he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" And Simon said, "I suppose him who was forgiven most." And he said, "Thou hast judged rightly." Praise God. Folks, we can never get to the place, amen, where we don't feel like we need God to speak to our heart. Amen. We cannot come to the place where it's just another church service. Amen. It's just another sermon. Come on, somebody. Amen. We can never get to that place. We've got to take it very personal. And we've got to get up close and personal. And I know it's difficult for the young people to understand this at times because life is so carefree in your youth. But the day will come when you will have to make a decision in your own mind and your heart. And you'll have to say, what's in my heart? Why am I going to church? Why do I love God? Why do I live this way? Praise God. It's going to come to a place and a time where it's in your heart, where you've got to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. Amen. He was set for the rise and the fall of many. And if you hang around him, eventually he will speak to your heart. Eventually things will be revealed to you. Eventually there will be the word that will come to you from somewhere that you know that it's from God. Amen. And there will be a decision that will be made. The decision to serve God, the decision to make a turn, the decision to fall at his feet and weep, not worrying about what anybody else says or sitting at the table and stiffening up in pride and saying, there's nothing wrong in my heart. Amen. I'm telling you what, there's not a one of us here tonight that have a perfect heart. There's not a one of us here tonight that have everything figured out. I've got to figure out from God's help, amen, and listening to the voice of God, God, what's wrong with my heart? Speak to me and show me and lead me and guide me. And that woman went away justified. And the Pharisee went away not justified. Praise God. He would be set for the rise and the fall of many. I want to be on the side of the rising. I want to be on that resurrection side where we rise to walk in a newness of life. Praise God. Church is not something that just covers up the old me. Amen. It's not just a new look. Amen. But it's a new me. From top to bottom, from inside to out, I want to be a brand new person. And every one of us will come to that crossroad. Are you listening tonight? Every one of us will come to that crossroad in our life. And it will be more than once. Amen. It will be more than once as you live for God. I've noticed that every 7 to 10 years, almost everyone that I have seen and pastored and in my own ministry and in the ministry of pastoring, I see the very same thing, and I've asked and they've told me that it is true that every 7 to 10 years you're going to find that there's a crossroad in your life. And many ministers leave their church at that point. 7 to 10 years because it becomes familiar and the voice becomes familiar. And instead of pushing forward, instead of going to the next level, they look for greener grass somewhere else. God forbid that we would do that. Amen. God forbid that we would go that direction. Amen. If God will be my helper, amen, I want to be able to say that I'm here in Augusta for 50 years. Well, praise God. Amen. May have to push me in a wheelchair, but I want to be here 50 years. Amen. And if God will be my helper, I'll be here. I'm not planning on going anywhere. Amen. I'm not planning on looking for a higher place or a better place to go. Amen. I just want God's will in my life. Anybody else feel that way tonight? I want God's will in my life. I'm not interested in my agenda. I'm not interested in the things that I want. I'm interested in what God wants in my life. The only way that I've learned to accomplish that is to get to a place where I can just say, God, open me up and reveal to me. Give me a revelation of my heart. Give me a revelation of my heart. Amen. And in order for a church to grow, the pastor has to grow. Amen. In order for you to grow, you've got to get close to God. Jesus passed by and he saw Matthew, Matthew 9:9. He saw Matthew a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And if you read where Matthew puts his own name in there, in another place he said, Matthew the publican. I believe it's there in the book of Matthew when he's talking about the names of the 12 disciples, and he gives the names of the other 11, but when he comes to himself, he calls himself Matthew the publican. Matthew wrote this, and he was not trying to cover up what he was or who he was, but he was open and honest and able to say, God, this is who I am. We get into trouble when we try to cover it up. We get into trouble when we blame others for it. We get into trouble when all of these things come up. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, amen, I can have joy in the Lord. And I can live for God. I really can. Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, Matthew 4 and 18, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother. And they were fishermen, and he said, come and follow me. And they left their nets, and they followed him. Amen. Then he saw by the Sea of Galilee two brothers, Simon and Andrew. Oh, I just read that. Simon and Andrew casting nets. I got the same scripture twice. But you can look in the scriptures over and over and over again, and you'll see that when Jesus called people, all of a sudden there had to be a revelation. There was a revelation, or the attempt of a revelation to come into that individual's life. And the young man that came to him said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? When you come to Jesus, that's why some folks back off from him. One lady came here and she said, oh, I'm not coming back. She said, I don't want to get that close to God. He set for the rise and the fall of many. Do you want to get close to God tonight? Are you having difficulties in your prayer life, getting closer to God, hearing the voice of God, feeling the Holy Ghost, feeling close to God? Do you feel like all of a sudden when you go to God in prayer, there's a wall that comes up and you can't go any further? I'm telling you tonight, what you need to do is say, God, show me what's in my heart. Show me what's in my heart. Because it's whatever it is that's in my heart, that's what's creating that wall. And if I can break down that wall and repent of that sin that's in my heart, then I can go to the next phase and get closer and closer and closer. Let's stand together tonight. Let's stand together tonight. Amen. We're facing a brand new year. And it's not because it's a brand new year, but I just feel like God wants to break in among us in a mighty way. But he cannot break in among us when there is theft among us. Not when that theft is in positions of leadership. And I don't know that that's, I'm not even saying that that's what's happening. But I'm just using that as an example. We cannot go forward, amen, in revival, in a move of God, in the power of God, the presence of God, if there's sin in our hearts. It's going to be revealed. We were talking about it today, and Achan was caught. He stole a goodly Babylonian garment. He stole a wedge of gold and silver and put it in his tent. And thought that he was going to cover it up and everything was going to be all right. But I'm telling you what, God knows what's going on in your heart. God knows exactly what's going on in your heart tonight. Amen. And it is a heart issue. It really is. It's a heart issue. Judas was his condemnation came. He could not find repentance. And it was because he had rejected his Messiah. He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And I see the Apostle Peter, who denied him three times. And not only did he deny him, he used cursing. He was cursing. And denied the Lord. And one went out into eternity without God, and the other one was forgiven. I see the king Saul who did not bring back the spoils, who brought back the spoils, brought back King Agag, and he was rejected by God. And the man that was following him, David, committed murder and adultery, and God forgave him. You got to think about these things. I'm telling you tonight, it's not so much, well, praise God. You know what it comes down to? The heart. It was said of David, he was a man after God's heart. His heart was after God's heart. We've got to have a heart after God tonight. Amen. And we've got to understand that God wants to reveal to our hearts things that are not right, things that will keep us from drawing closer to Him. Can we just pray together right now? Come on, everybody. I know it's not a shouting message, but we just need to examine our hearts tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I decided to preach this message last night, and I just feel it in my heart. God, help us right now. We need your touch. We need your anointing. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your victory. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. We lean on you. We lean on your presence. We lean on you. We lean on your presence. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you're my help and my strength. You're my everything, my all in all. Oh God, speak to our hearts tonight. Speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, it's not all about speaking in tongues. Lord, it's not all about shouting. It's not all about the outward show. But God, it's about what's in my heart tonight. It's what's in my heart tonight. Show us, reveal to us the true nature. Give us a revelation, Lord, about the thoughts of our hearts. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Go ahead and sing it tonight, and let's just think on these things.